Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Down the block, Andrew Johnson. Inside for Elba.
Actually, let's skip this game. Eels vs Rabbitohs, not important. Not important. Not important. Roosters, Cowboys, what a match. No. Eels vs Rabbitohs, holy moly. Are the Rabbitohs back-ish?
They're a weird side. Were they ever out?
For me, they were.
Yeah?
For okay. me, fucking like they were.
Winning a comp, are you saying?
Or? Yeah, for sure. Yeah, okay. That, like, for me, they were. For me, if you had said 10 weeks ago, for me, making the eight was a win. Now I'm going, are they a bit of a smoky? Now, I'm not saying they're one of the favourites at all, but I wouldn't want to play this team come finals. I would not want to play them.
I agree with you. I think they're going to be. You're going to want to avoid them come finals.
They're just fucking. They just have these freaks of nature that can just turn games on their head when they want to.
But they're a wild footy side because they started with a tough draw. They didn't do too well. Then they had a soft draw. They didn't do too well. And now all of a sudden they got this tough run. I'm going, oh, they're in a bit of trouble, and they're doing heaps well.
Six from seven.
And the loss was only in Golden Point as well.
Yeah. So 6 from 7. Their only loss is to the Sharks by a point, and Latrell missed 3 field goal attempts.
Yeah.
On top of that, they've beaten the Storm and the Eels twice in that run. So it's not like they haven't beaten top tier teams. I think Demetrio deserves a massive rap. Now, obviously, we have to wait till the end of the season. But it could have been a disaster this year. It's the first club that Wayne Bennett has left that has continued finals footy pretty much, if they do make it in the end. Thoughts, Guru?
Yeah, I definitely think they will play finals footy. I just think they're on such a tear at the moment. I think there's other teams, like the team they played the other night, Parramatta, that are struggling. So I think that they will play top eight footy this year. Can they push for a top four berth, Matty?
Yep.
Is it possible?
Absolutely. Storm is sitting on 30. They are sitting on 28 points, and they're 4 and against.
Don't you play Melbourne? Do you play Melbourne over the next 3 weeks?
Nah, but we play Penrith this week.
Penrith,
then Cows, Roosters. Penrith, Cowboys, Roosters.
So they're about 70 points behind Storm. So it's not terribly bad.
Fuck, how good's that round 25 game going to be?
Oh, fucking hell. Seriously. It'll almost be like a grand final.
And it's like it's already sold out.
Fuck, I want to get to it now, eh?
Oh, man. It's going to be mad.
I want to go to it just to experience it.
Yeah, just to be there. Yeah.
Fucking hell.
I could be wrong, but hasn't it lined up too that I think the Swans are meant to have a home final that weekend? Is that right? Did I read that somewhere? So it could have 150,000 people at Fox Studios that night. It could be insane.
Mate. It's going to be incredible. Incredible.
But yeah, no, I thought they were very, very impressive in this game. Obviously, Parramatta, far from there. From their best, but I don't know. I feel like South Sydney would have beaten most teams the other night.
They were really good.
Just in good touch at the moment.
And they just looked like the team of last year where they had this crazy line speed and Totola has gone to a whole new level. Like, to think a team with Tom Burgess would go as well without Tom Burgess, like as their main guy. I know he's still to come back. He's serving his suspension, correct?
So he served his suspension, but then he got injured. Okay. So he's having like he was training today. I just read and on light duty, so he's no certainty to come back this like, week.
It's a groin injury.
Yeah. Even last year, if you said to me they don't have Tom Burgess, I would be like, I'm a bit worried that they won't get the go forward that they need. So it just shows you how far they've
against
come.
Against Parramatta?
I know. To Tol Loran for 200 metres.
It's arguably the best pack on paper.
Probably is. I, you know what? I'd go as far. If it's not, it's one of.
When
it's,
it wants to be.
Yeah, when it wants to be. Because like you look at it on paper, you've got Madison, Papali'i, RCG, Paolo.
Lane.
That's in career best form. Like that right there is like even you've got Leota, Fisher Harris, you've got Martin, and then on the other edge you've got Kikau. I would probably say that the Eels might just have got Isaiah Yeo. Maybe Isaiah Yeo tips him over the edge a little bit, maybe. But it's competitive.
I'd say that Lane's probably the most informed out of all of them, and like you, he'd probably be the last one I'd name.
Yeah. Which is it just shows you how strong that four pack should be. But anyway, let's get back to the Rabbitohs. Thoughts about the game?
Yeah, you mentioned Totola there. He's been incredible. I saw your post the other day. He's gone to a new level over the last few weeks. And I agree. 6 weeks ago, I was sitting there going, without Tom Burgess, they're in serious trouble here. Last 2 years, I've been sitting there going, they're short front rowers.
Yeah, same.
He has just come on. He's been incredible, Totola. Yeah, obviously, we're missing the halfback. Ilias was out of this game, so Hawkins came in. Thought he did a pretty solid job.
Mate, they looked the same.
Yeah.
They looked the same. If anything, in periods, they kind of looked better. And I'm not saying it's the Ilias is the reason. I'm just saying, like, to lose your key seven and to look better, it's pretty impressive.
I'd say the other thing, too, like, they've obviously lost Reynolds. They've lost Gagai. They've made up those spots. But I remember watching that grand final last year going, Blake Taff is going to be so important next year. They're not even using him.
Yeah. Crazy.
They've got Nick Arima in the squad. They're not using him either. And they're fine.
It's really impressive. Seriously. Like, Cody Walker looks better. Damien Cooks look better. Latrell, obviously. Cam Murray is just a beast. I think Dry Arrow's line running on the edge is so crucial to all their great players. Like that line run, it's the do or die. Like if you don't get that right, you don't hold the defense up and they don't have the space on the edge. Alex Johnston is continuing to score just try after try. Timmy, what do you think about the game?
Yeah, there are a few examples on the weekend of I think the class side starting to peak towards finals. And we know that this is the time of year that the good coaches start to get their sides up for. And when I say the good sides and the class rosters, it's these sides who have done well in recent years and do have the good rosters. And it's Melbourne lifting for a big game. It's the Bunnies and the Roosters lifting for really big games. So I don't think the timing of the season is any surprise that they've all got up for it. And the Bunnies, they were fantastic, weren't they? I mean, it's very hard trying to work out what sort of side they beat because you don't know with Parramatta. We'll get to them shortly. But, I mean, the Bunnies and what they've done the last 6 weeks, they've just flipped things on its head, and you'd be brave. And I was with you, Campy. I'd sort of be pretty close to putting a line through in this season. You'd be a brave person to rule them out based on what we know that they can do with ball in hand, because their ball movement, and, you know, we talk about Latrells who finishes with a little tip on here. We talk about Cody who goes deep into line, but it all starts with Cam Murray in the middle.
Yeah.
And the amount of defenders he attracts and just the service he's giving, it all starts with him. So from going from one side of the field to the other, they're just electric.
Yeah.
It's what we saw last year.
Yeah, it really is. Like maybe they lack that little bit extra bit of class that Reynolds can obviously deliver and Gago in the centres, but like – I think Tass has been really good since he brought back in. He came in, he had those errors. Since he's been brought back in, he's been outstanding. 208 metres for Tass. One try assist, 12 tackles, only two misses.
And if you look at Tass as well, if you go back and look at the game, most of his runs would have been one off, like tackle one off the ruck, like To'o does. Like he takes so many tough carries.
Like he's been outstanding. And we have to remember, Campbell Graham isn't in the side. We're talking about their best back pretty much outside Latrell Mitchell.
Due back this week with a bit of luck.
Yep. So that's huge for him. Isaac Thompson.
He's been unbelievable.
Where the fuck did he come from?
Hey, a great story on that one. So one of my good mates, Nick Campton, journo, he put out a story on Thompson the last couple of days. He didn't play a game of footy for 5 years between 2017 and 2022.
What?
Yep. Hame Sele is a good mate of his, and he got on the phone to him and sort of got chatting to him, started GM up, saying, mate, like, you're a gun. We need to get you up moving. I think it was Demetrio and one of the other coaching staff at the Bunnies had coached him in lower grades, and they sort of said, oh, yeah, sweet, like, get him up and going. Let's bring him in for a pre-season on. I don't know the complete detail, but it would have been train and trial at absolute best.
Yeah, it was train and trial.
Yep. And he went from not playing a game of footy in 5 years to being in the NRL.
So that's why he's come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Because he is a fucking beast. He's massive. And like he looks like a veteran. Seriously, like he plays like a veteran. He doesn't look overwhelmed. He takes the right hit-ups. He makes the right calls in defence. Like I just cannot believe this guy's come out of
nowhere.
Like nowhere, but not just come out of nowhere. Like he's come in like a veteran. Like when they said he was 24 or 5, I assumed that he had been this veteran playing in New South Wales Cup and just grinded away and eventually been given his shot. But then I was like, how is that possible? A guy this good hasn't been picked up by another team that needs big, strong wingers. And I guess that explains it. Amazing stuff. Yeah, it's just – and then you've obviously got Johnston who continues to score. I mean, he might be the greatest – I mean, he really might be the greatest fucking line-winner in the world.
I posted a thing last night about Sualee and Cobbo for the Australian team, and someone commented, why aren't we talking about AJ?
Yeah, fair call.
I mean, he deserves to at least be in the combo. I just think maybe his carries out of the trouble aren't just comparable to the best and the best.
Yeah, fair, but I mean, he's going to be the greatest try scorer of all time.
Yeah, it's
and
a
we're
good
not
point.
Talking about him.
Yeah. What is with Rabbitohs and finding wingers that just can find the line, like Nathan Merritt? At the worst club, they were struggling so bad. He was like leading try scorer. Fucking.
You also got like a guy like Thompson. Like it's not the first time they've done this. Matty, who was the fella? Was it Everingham?
Yeah, Andrew Everingham.
Like he came from. He disappeared into. I think he went to.
He went to rugby. Japanese rugby. Yeah.
And then who was your centre you won the comp with?
Of Dylan Walker and Kirisomi Ava.
Ava, like he came from nowhere as well. Mm-hmm. Like it's incredibly impressive.
Yeah, I just. The Rabbitohs, man, if I'm being honest at the start of the year, I just thought, man, the history of Wayne leaving and clubs, like, there's something going on here. Like, it's just not going to pan out. But, like, Latrell Mitchell, what he has done to this squad, the confidence that he's brought, but also the deliver, and to deliver in the way he has, there's a reason why he's Latrell Mitchell. I think we kind of, because we're used to seeing him play now, that we've kind of become, I guess, a bit desensitized to what this guy can do. And we appreciate it, but we don't actually realize what we're witnessing in front of us. Like, we don't actually realize that here is a kid that is still only just turned 25. He's done everything in the game, and he has still so much impact on a team that he can take them from. They'll be lucky to make the eight to literally some people going, fuck, I wouldn't want to be playing them in the finals. That's how good Latrell Mitchell is.
We're scratching the surface as well, aren't we? Like,
easy.
He's still so raw in his time at fullback due to all the games he's missed. It happened quite recently from joining the Bunnies. Like, I feel like there's so much more to come from Latrell at fullback.
Yeah, I totally agree. Another full preseason under his belt, all the fitness, everything like that. He's incredible. Like, why?
How good is it for rugby league, whether you love or hate the Bunnies, just them firing at the moment, like with the history of that club, but more importantly, just as footy fans, they're such an exciting team to watch. So for them to come from the abyss and when we say the abyss and battling, they were always around the eight, weren't they? They had never went that dark, but to see them firing, I really look forward to watching the Bunnies every weekend again.
Yeah, absolutely. And especially considering that they're the youngest club at the comp. It's pretty incredible that they've been able to do what they
did.
In such little time. Like, to build such a heritage in such a short span, it's fucking amazing.
Do you think the Burrow formed, 18 years ago?
Yeah, that's great. Like, 18 years ago, and they've put their roots this deep. It's amazing. It's
all
amazing.
In the shadow of the Roosters. So
okay, that's where I'm drawing the line.
Oh, yeah, got him. There it is. There was even some people that commented and said, hey, you can call my team shit, you can call the club fucking, but I will not fucking cop that they aren't the oldest team in the comp.
And this stadium war as well is just reigniting the South.
I guess we'll talk about it. So basically, South are without a stadium next year. And that's where I go, like, whether you like rugby league or you don't like rugby league, and this is all jokes aside, the Rabbitohs are a foundation club in rugby league. Rugby league is a huge part of the community, but also the Rabbitohs, what they mean to that area is like, you can't put words to what they mean to that area, especially the area they're in. For them, the lack of respect for them as an organisation, for them not to have a stadium for next year, for me, is baffling. Like, we're talking about an organisation that has impacted people for, what, 100 years?
And the rest.
And the rest, yeah. What?
112?
112.
Not in
08. How many other organisations still exist and have that so much impact in communities that are 100 years old? Like, it's rare. Like, yeah. they usually kept around because it's a more of a tradition to respect it. It was there before. We have something that is over 100 years old that still is a vital part of their area, and they don't have a stadium yet. It is totally bizarre to me. It is, and maybe there is more to it, and maybe the Rabbitohs have done something like they didn't handle it properly, but everything I'm reading is the Rabbitohs have continually asked what's going on. And so could you give us more information on what's going on with the stadiums?
Basically, Souths were contracted to stay at a core stadium till 2030. But there was a clause in that contract to say if the renovation doesn't go ahead, we can leave that contract.
Yep.
So basically, the renovation didn't go ahead, and now they want to go back to Allianz. And don't forget, they were at Allianz from 1988 to 2005. I'm pretty sure those are the numbers. So, like, they've been there before, and before that, they were in Redfern. So they've only been in Western Sydney since 2006. Anyway, basically, they're like, well, we're getting out of this contract now. We want to play at the new stadium. And I think it's the New South Wales government that hasn't signed off on it. I don't know why. Maybe it's got something to do with this whole Volandis thing, and maybe they're like, Souths are collateral damage. I don't know.
So is this Roosters, same stadium as Roosters?
Yeah. Yeah. The new Allianz Stadium.
So
do
you think it has something to do with the fact that Roosters want to have it as their home ground?
100%. Because Politis and that wouldn't want Souths in there. So maybe they have a say to Volandis as well. But surely the NRL would rather Souths play out of the new stadium. Like that, and I don't understand why the government don't want teams in their new stadium. They just built this new stadium.
Mm. And also, like, the stadium, although there is no denying that the power of, you know, Politis and their ability to get things done would have had a huge say in that stadium getting done. I'm assuming. Yeah. But that stadium wasn't built just for the Roosters. Was it?
No, like the seats are literally there as well. Like they have all different shades of blue because one's Sydney FC, one's the Waratahs. Like, for example, if the Sharks are going to play a home final there in a few weeks. Mm. Like, it's not just the Rooster Stadium.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And like, I actually think it adds more to the rivalry that they play at the same stadium. Like, I think it's like, yeah, it adds more to the rivalry.
It's a turf war.
It's literally a turf war. Matty be at the front, ready to go. Gangs of New York style. You'd be Leonardo DiCaprio at the front. Was it Bill the Butcher? What was the guy's name? The incredible actor from Old Blood. What's it called? Old Blood? Oh, man. Now I'm forgetting. Brain freeze. He's also in The Phantom Thread. Oh, my God. I can't believe I'm forgetting this guy's name. He's literally the greatest actor of all time. Anyway, sorry, guys.
I'd say you lost me, but you know that. Yeah.
Gangs of New York. Have you seen the movie Gangs of New York, Leonardo DiCaprio?
I have, actually.
No, I don't think I've one.
None is?
I haven't even watched
it. It's a bloody classic. And I'm the fucking bad guy. You're the guys that haven't watched any classic
cinema.
We're
just trying to get a word in with the dribble that you're talking about.
Jesus Christ, it's a bloody classic, mate. Well, I tell you what, go and watch it. It'll make your life better.
No.
It's a great beat piece of cinema. There Will Be Blood. That's what he's also in. There Will Be Blood. Tell me you've seen There Will Be Blood, please. Oh, my God. Seriously. No culture, no art, you guys.
I've seen it, but only because you told me to say it.
Have you seen it?
No, I haven't. We'll put it on the list.
I can't believe I still can't think of the guy's name. He's literally, anyway, whatever. Yeah, like, as I said, not only have they been poorly handled by the fact that they agreed to a contract that said the upgrades would happen, and then they didn't happen, then they should have every right to, like, that's a community stadium. Is it not the government paying for it? Is not the government's funds come from the community? So how are they not allowed to play there? Doesn't make sense to me.
No.
Doesn't make sense. And I just think that it adds to the incredible. And like, as a government, don't you want as many people using it as possible? Because it's a community asset that you need to pay off. Like, we're in debt. Anyway, if you want to listen to my politics podcast, it's it's going to be up and running after this one. But yeah, anyway, Rabbitohs, look, incredible stuff. They've also come out and said they're quite, I guess, confident that they're going to keep guys like Walker, Cook, Murray. Well, they're definitely keeping Murray. And also Latrell. Do you see that being broken up anytime soon?
I don't think so. I think they will. I think especially after losing Reynolds and Gagai, there's got to be some coin there.
Well, Latrell is on like unders at the moment, pretty short too. So they're going to have to upgrade him.
Yeah, but you know, I don't think Latrell will want a ridiculous amount of money, to be honest with you.
You don't reckon he want $1 million? He's already turned down $1 million to be there.
Yeah, I don't think he will.
Really? Okay.
He's 25. Like, he's got a long time to go.
I think he's earned it, to be honest.
I have no doubt he's earned it. I'm not arguing that, but I reckon he'll be happy to keep himself, Cody Walker, Damien Cook to try and win a comp over the next few years.
So you reckon, what do you got there, Manny?
I'm just saying it's slightly concerned that those three guys are all off contract at the same time. And they can all speak November 1. So let's hope.
They're 1-6, 9-13. All should be commanding 800 plus comfortably. Like, that's a big chunky cap.
Yeah.
We spoke about top-ended rosters before. Well, the Bunnies, if they're keeping them forward, they're going to be one of them.
Yeah, totally. Look, I can see look, Latrell has proven he will take unders to be at a club.
Yep.
Like, he was literally offered over $1 million by multiple clubs, and he decided to go to the Rabbitohs because of he wanted to play specifically for that club. And that's what, like, you know, I understand some people don't like, you know, not that they don't like Latrell, but they're not a fan of Latrell or whatever. But, like, that doesn't get spoken about enough. Like, there are very few players that will literally turn down millions of dollars and take a big, big pay cut. We're talking hundreds of grand per year to go to a club. And Latrell literally did that, you know, so.
Oh, I think the selfish word gets thrown around way too much with Latrell.
Oh, man.
It's bullshit.
Yeah, that's
wasn't
crazy.
That long ago, you know, like, if he would have said he was available for game three, I would have picked him in a heartbeat. That would have been another 30 grand. He pulled himself out of that.
Yeah, 30,000 bucks.
Ready for South Sydney. Like, I think the narrative around Latrell's fucking bullshit. I remember the week before, I think he played incredibly well, but he ran for 60 metres. Everyone bagged him for that. And he topped the run count this week, 211 metres. All of a sudden, that went hush, hush.
Well, what I love about Latrell is, like, he kind of defies... He defies what we expect all the time. Like, this is what the fullback should be. This is the shape, the size, the way they should play. He comes and says, nah. Even like the way he played center, it was just so beautiful to watch. Like, you know, in a selfish way, I would love him to just play one more year before his career's over at center, just to see that monster on the edge throwing blokes around like he did for so many years. But anyway, yeah, Latrell's incredible. Now, on to any other boys. Keon, again, far out, he's matured, man. He's so consistent. And, like, how many times have we seen these incredible big edge-back rowers, they come in and they have a few good games and then they're quiet. A few good games and they're quiet. Keon is just constantly consistent now. Like, I think at the start of his career, he had a tendency to drop in and out of a season. This year, every single game is just high quality. Like, it's always quality with him now. It's just so impressive.
Yeah, I don't look at him anymore as a...
A rookie, you
know,
kind of.
Yeah, I don't look at him as a rookie at all anymore. I know what I'm going to get every week. I expect that every week from him as well. If he was to have a couple of off weeks, I'd be pretty disappointed in him because he set that standard for himself now.
For sure. And I think that you'd be crazy if he's not in Origin talks. I think that's crazy. Like, if he isn't at least considered for the Origin squad next year. Now, I understand you can only pick two players, but far out, like, for example, like a guy like Olakuwatu and Keon, like the next young guys coming up, it's a scary edge back row if they can be consistent.
Was it last year that Freddie picked him in Origin, or was that this year in the squad?
I think it was last year was in the squad, I'm pretty sure.
That's good.
You know, so like him in a Blues jersey, be a pretty scary prospect on the edge there.
What it means for the Bunnies as well, having that strike weapon week in, week out. They're obviously a left side dominated attack because of how ridiculously good it is. You know, Cody plays on that left side. Latrell tends to prefer left side. But now they've got Keon killing it on the right with that attacking line. So like all good back rowers should do, even when he's not getting the ball, he's attracting them. And then you've got Latrell sweeping out the back of him on the right, and Cody often slides to the other side and shifts and plays right as well, just in attacking movements. So across the whole ground, they've got these just attacking threats. Have fun defending them. When the pack are moving forward and rolling, they can score anywhere.
And I want to throw Campbell Graham back in there.
Yeah. And I want to give Havili a shout out. he's been great off the bench. Like, when he was brought to the club, I was like, oh, Cookie's an 80-minute player. Is it worth the buy? But I actually think he suits exactly what they need, which is speed and power off the bench. He's been outstanding. Another guy I want to give a shout-out to, Jai Arrow. Just gone about his work. Doesn't get the raps he deserves, in my opinion. 192 metres, 27 tackles, zero misses. I think that because he went to such a star-studded side, a lot of people forget, like, at the Titans, he was the guy. Like, he was the guy. And we forget that, like, because he's in a star-studded side, he kind of just goes about his business. But when you really look at it, this is a back row. Keon, Jai Arrow, and Cam Murray. Like, you could argue that that back row could take it to any back row in the comp. It really could on its day. And so things are looking good. Things are looking good for the Rabbitohs. I really like where they're headed. Another year with Lachie Ilias, you know, under his belt. I think next year is going to be even better. I think as long as they can re-sign those key players, I think the Rabbitohs are in a really strong spot, and they deserve a rap as an organisation for losing such key players and being able to continue on the way they have. Really, really good stuff. Great win by the Rabbitohs. Now, on to the Eels. Well, I don't know.
This is Parramatta.
But it,
I don't know who they play in Canterbury next week. If they go and win that by 40, it won't surprise me. They're just, I don't know.
Do you know?
Any more analysis to add?
Yeah, I know. No, what is becoming clearer and clearer to me is just complacency and an attitude. And I don't think anyone could say that's being harsh, because we know that they can match it, not even match it with the best in the NRL. They can beat the best in the NRL. And then they go and drop games to the Bulldogs and the Tigers quite convincingly when they're at the bottom of the table, and you sort of sit there going, all right, well, a bit complacent, they're not getting up for those games. But you're like, all right, at least they're getting up for the big games and the big competitive games that they need to. We've seen it time and time again. And then this game, they're playing for a top eight spot, massive game against the Rabbitohs, who are rivals for that top eight spot / top four, and they just get blown off the park. And it's across the board, but it starts in the middle. And I look at someone like Junior Borlo, who is, you know, one of the top prop forwards in the game. Mm. But the difference between him and like Payne Haas and David Clemmer is that in bad results for the Knights and the Broncos, they're still running for 180 metres. Junior Borlo on the weekend ran for 74 metres. Mm. And he has these games where he doesn't. And I just don't see what else you can put that down to other than attitude.
Mm. Yeah, it's interesting. Like Junior Borlo, he's been, like, he's usually their consistent one, like, especially last year, if I recall correctly. He only had 38 minutes. Do you think he might be injured?
Potentially.
Because he played, like, 60 minutes or some shit, like, against someone recently, I'm pretty sure.
Well, we know he can do it easily, like, big minutes if they need him to.
And, like, I thought he was great in Origin.
It's not like they were, like, they went into this game, I thought they were lucky to be only down 14-0 at halftime, but they weren't out of it.
Yeah, no, they weren't. They actually, like, won some of the starts. You know, so, for example, the week before, he played 48 minutes and ran for 173 metres.
It's the least amount of minutes he's played all year.
Maybe he's injured. He honestly might be injured. Because 38 minutes for a key forward like that, and their backs, their the reserves, you know, they played a pretty substantial minutes, I think. Again, 49 minutes, 187 metres.
In eight games this year, he's run for under 105 metres.
Yeah, interesting.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of those have been under 100 metres. Like, in terms of getting up week in, week out, so I don't have Haas's stats here or Clemmer's, but no matter how bad the result is, they're running for like 150-plus comfortably.
Yeah.
Maybe it's an unfair comparison.
I will say he plays a little bit of a different role for...
I was about to say, a bit more ball playing. And also, you know, that they're so pivotal to their packs, Haas and in particular Clemmer. But, you know, they've also got a lot of very good forwards, all three of those sides. You know, maybe I'm being a bit critical on him, but it's just frustrating.
No, well, it's a good example because, like, I agree. I think RCG and Junior Paolo, they're the tone setters. Mm. And whenever Parra play poorly, they just don't seem to have that energy. And I actually spoke about it around the Origin period where I felt that Eels were a little bit too reliant on those two to deliver for them. And I think that is why they went into the market for a a really good front rower to ease a bit of that need for these guys to like come out and absolutely brain it every single week, be the tone setters. Unless if those two guys are on, they usually play really well. If they're not, they don't. So you could say that maybe that's a knock on them, or you could say it's a knock on the setup that they have, where they are so heavily reliant on just two front rowers. They're almost like the only team that is like, if their front rowers aren't on, they just can't win.
But even then, you've got like Maddo there, Papali'i, who, you know, drifts between middle and edge a fair bit, Sean Lane, who's, you know, very much sticks to his edge, but then they've got some good forwards coming off the bench. Like, why are they so reliant on these two
guys?
Yeah,
they shouldn't be that. Like, all we do is compliment IPAP, and all we do is compliment Sean Lane. Maddo's been fantastic this year as well. He made his way into Origin. Why are they so reliant on these two front rowers?
Yeah, it's just, fuck, I don't know. I honestly don't know. Because, like, you know, he still made 31 tackles, only missed two. Like, so it's not like, you know, and then you got Campbell Gillard, 31 tackles, four misses, which is a little bit on the higher end, but the Rabbitohs were moving around quite a bit. Yeah, it's a really interesting one. Like, I think that they would be disappointed with their performance for sure on the weekend. 38 minutes is a really interesting one. Mm. Like, I don't understand that, unless he's injured or, you know, the coach wanted to go a different direction.
Maybe they just didn't – I'd have to have a look, but maybe they just didn't bring him back on late, was it, because of the blowout score or something?
Yeah, maybe.
And he didn't get his extra 10 or
I mean, Shaw Lane was fucking really good.
Oh,
he was unreal really good.
Yeah.
He has been really good. That's the thing. When you look at these power losses, outside of, like, you know, RCG and Junior's numbers were a bit down. Like, all their numbers are not that bad, you know. So it's like Dylan Brown still ran for 122 metres, 24 tackles, only two misses. Jacob Arthur still kicked for 457 metres, 20 tackles, only three misses. But I just can't put my finger on with the Eels. Like, no one can.
I don't think they can.
Like, no one can. Like, the only thing is, like, maybe they're just waiting. What do you got there, Matty?
So Paulo came off in the 22nd minute, then came back on in the 56th minute, and then went off in the 72nd minute.
It's interesting.
So if it's a tight game, he probably plays the last eight for sure, you think. So maybe even that'll push him up above 40.
Yeah. I know that sounds crazy, but I think they're just waiting for finals. The problem is they could literally bounce out.
Yep.
Could you imagine the carnage that's going to happen if they bounce out of the finals? Does Brad Arthur stay?
Well, this is the thing with Brad Arthur. I mean, we just went through that entire pack. He brought IPAP over as a reserve grader. He's turned Sean Lane, respectfully, from, I thought, one of the more inconsistent first graders to this year, one of the more consistent. He's got Maddo over here, who's now played Origin, got those front rowers. Like, he's done an incredible job, but at some point, if you can't take them to that next step, are you happy being fifth and sixth?
Well, it's tough because it's like, yeah, I am happy being fifth and sixth, better than fucking on the bottom of the table.
Yeah, but for how long?
Yeah, I know. I agree with you. I'm totally with you.
That's so unfair on Brad Arthur.
Do you give him an extra year?
But we'll be having, we'll be having the same conversation.
Because they lost Papali'i, they lost Reid Marnie.
Oh, I think it'd be very stiff if they got rid of him for next year, even if they missed the finals. I know that we expect so much better, but Christ, he hasn't been that bad. Like,
no. I think we're all...
I'd be happy to hold him.
Oh, sure. I'd definitely hold him for another year, at least another year. And I would say to, like, mate, this is the year.
Yeah.
This is the year. But then the thing is, they may have had that conversation with him already. Mm. This is the year.
Well, surely knowing that Reid was leaving, like, surely this I think this was the year.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, though, if he became available, if I was a bottom four club, I'd snap him up.
Yeah, because he's proven he can take a bottom to the top four.
Parramatta shouldn't be where they are when he walked in. We've said it before. Mm. Like, they shouldn't, like, for the position he walked in on, they were an absolute shit fight.
They were a basket case, like a basket case. So, yeah, really interesting times. I know people don't like this, but I genuinely still think that they're such a bogey team that they could go get to the finals. We talked about it. Complacency is the issue. There is no complacency in finals.
Yeah.
And I think last year they showed it. That similar thing happened last year where they just went back half of the year, they dove off a cliff. They got into the finals and they really ripped and teared. But it's not looking good. It really isn't looking good.
So at the moment, like if they're in finals, do we think they'll be seventh or eighth?
Probably. So they'll have to probably play.
So they're looking at an away game, either Brisbane, South Sydney or Melbourne.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah.
South Sydney, you stay in Sydney, but if you have to go to Suncorp or Amy Park.
Oh, it's a tough gig. The problem is, though, is like they've proven they can beat
the top
tier. They've
probably got the best record at Amy Park outside of Melbourne. So, yeah.
It's like, you know, they've proven they can do it. So, yeah, real interesting. Yeah, there's not much else we can say with the Eels, guys. Like, it seems like this every second week we're sitting here going, fuck, sorry, guys, like, just didn't turn up.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.